Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, folks. Broadcasting live with his tin cans and a brand new string from a top old Smokey. It's Ben, the King of Wiener Slingers, with a fancy co-host, with important guests, and the best answers a third grade education can buy. All for you. Sponsored by Mobile Food Vendors Association, BensCarts.com, Whiskey by the Jug, and Donuts. You are so in for a treat today. But if I told you now, I'd have to kill you. So stay tuned. Ben's as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Stand by. He's downing his last glass of liquid courage. And he'll be live in 30 seconds.
Want to save even more money? Build your own professional hot dog cart. Save over $1,000. BuildACart.com. BuildACart.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been an exciting week. We have been busy, 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 and I am glad to have everybody on the show tonight. We've got some cool stuff to cover tonight. I am hoping, if I prepared everything correctly, we will have Sean Tibbetts. He's the president of the Bluegrass Food Truck Association, and they have went from nothing, in February, to getting national recognition, senators involved in overturning some back-assward laws out of Kentucky turned around so that they can vend. There's lots of stuff going on there. We've got Rob live on the show tonight. How you doing, Rob?
Yo, yo. Hello, folks.
And he's not doing dishes, or at least if he is, he's going to mute it.
I'm actually washing a lemonade squeezer, so just to let you know.
Are you really?
I'm multitasking.
We can't even hear it, so you're doing a good job.
Exactly. Thanks.
We've membership, you know, obviously it went through the roof. The $20 membership deal ends tonight. Sometime towards the end of the show, after the show, within a little bit, we're not sure exactly, but it is set to end. What it comes down to is there's three different time zones, and we're not sure how that is set up on PayPal. And so that will end at some point tonight, and then it will go to the normal $89 rate, which is still a screaming good deal. I don't know if y'all have seen all the deals over at the at our site, Ben's Carts, and I don't know how many of you who have joined have gotten into Staples. There's been some trouble, and yesterday and today I helped some people. Heather showed me some tricks that I could do. Heather's not available all the time, plus she's on the West Coast. Deb has been trying to help people that had some glitches and errors. Most of it's been worked out, I think. We've seen the access. Apparently, Heather gave me a little report today that showed that people are accessing that page, so that obviously it means people are getting into it. If you're still having trouble, admin@mymfva.org or email Deb, which is Brian, do you know off the top of your head? I think that it's D Blecka at mymfva.org. I think. I'm not positive. But anyway, let's see. We have got, so we've had problems with that, but everybody's apparently been able to get in and register. They may still be, there may be a few that are having trouble once they have registered to get into the private pages. They're working on getting that fixed so that it's easier. Deb just posted up her email. It is d.blecha, B-L-E-C-H-A, at mymfva.org. And Brian did as well. So if you need that, just send that in, and that'll help. You know, they can the Collier or whatever. It's all volunteers, and so everybody's trying to pull, you know, and pull their weight and help. There are some new things coming down the pike, and hopefully Jason will talk to him tonight and get an update on anything coming down the pike. I know that we're going to be graced with Deb's presence tonight again. I'm pretty sure, if I remembered correctly. She may cuss me out that I said that. But so we've got some several things coming. If you – trying to think what else that I was told that I needed to cover, and I'm not positive. But we will – if I remember throughout the show, I'll break in at some point and tell you some other stuff. Now, I do not, and I don't think Deb does, have the list because Mobile Food Vendor Association paid for the four free gifts, the last four gifts that we had selected. I need to know the order, the names, and what those gifts were. I know that I think the last one was an umbrella, the first one was chip clips or a book or something. But anyway, I need to know the order of those. I think I have, and Deb can correct me if I'm wrong. The five people that got the vacations, they're on the way to, I think, Deb, and those will go out in the mail. If not Deb, it'll be Heather or somebody. Somebody get those to you. You don't need to be on vacation right now anyway because it's hot dog selling season. No, but we'll get those to you. Tonight, there's going to be five more winners. We are going to have the president of this company that does these vacation packages on the show at some point. His schedule and the show's schedule don't mix well, and so we talked about just pre-recording a show or a bit of a show so that we could just play it, but eventually we will have him on live or recorded, and he will go through some of the stuff about it, and it I don't know, all I can say is I'm thankful to them for making the donation to us, and so that's pretty cool. If you have any questions about what the mobile food vendors perks and stuff are, they're just email and find out if you need more information. Jason knows most of it because he and Rob were responsible for most of it, getting it done. And Jason did the bulk of that as far as if y'all knew the hours that Jason spent, and who I'm talking about is Jason Brown. He did the show weeks back. Wasn't that the marketing show, marketing guru show that we did? That is the show, and that was Jason. You'll want to give him a big thanks because that is a huge help. Yankee, I haven't had nothing to drink yet. And but I'm going to, I promise. As soon as I can talk my wife into going and getting me some, I'll have something, and I'll quit umming as much, and this will go a lot smoother. Okay, let's see. We also have I wish I had Deb on here because she could probably tell me, but I was just sent an email of some things, and I'm scared to pull it up. Earlier when I pulled up an extra screen, it froze my screen. I had to reset everything. Well, if I reset during the show's over. I can't turn it back on. I have to reset it completely, which means we don't have a show tonight. And so it's a mess. What I will do, let's see. Rob, do you have anything that you want to cover? I'm going to try to get to this email and see what there was that with the MFVA that I'm forgetting. I know I'm forgetting some. I'll put you on the spot.
Thanks. I clean my lemonade squeezers. That helps.
Yeah. Hey, guess what, too? You know what? I'm going to go ahead and put her in here, but we got Deb on the line. Hey, Deb.
Hey, awesome.
Hello. Here to help.
Okay. Everybody was wanting a little horn to get in the mood. something, maybe. I love it. If y'all didn't see the video that Darren posted up of Deb and Darren doing Washington, it was hilarious. You get to see the fun side of Deb. And Darren obviously brings out the best in you.
Oh, we had a blast. We learned a lot. It was a great gig. You know, it was just a very interesting thing. Darren is a pro, and I learned things from Darren. I learned how to bump up your hot dog prices by 50 cents, and they don't even know it.
You got to share. Will Darren let you share?
I think he will, since he's not competing directly with anybody there, but he marks all of his dogs on the 50-cent mark, and then you don't put any change in your pocket. You put your coins into your tip jar, and so when somebody comes up, buys a dog, hands you their bills, you just look at them and say, well, you'll have to take those coins out of the tip jar, and most of the time, they don't.
That is funny. Darren, that's funny. That is cool as crap. I never thought about doing that. I'm sorry I don't have change for this 100. Here's some pennies.
Here, just take this out of my tip jar, the one that's marked for my daughter's college fund and my grandmother's nursing home.
Holy cow, Darren. He did post up in the chat room, go ahead. So we're safe. He's not going to sue you.
Excellent.
That is funny. Tell us, what did you learn as far as how was that experience?
It was a really good experience. Some of the things that, you know, we talk about a lot in the dog park, and it was kind of the same out there. When you don't have a history for an event, it's very hard to judge what you're going to need. How do you know exactly? I mean, they can say all they want that 3,000 people are coming through the gate, but are those going to be little kids? Are those going to be elderly people? They like different things. They will tip in different ways. They, you know, and so all of that becomes more secondhand as you get some experience behind you. But in the initial phases, that's all learning, and that's, you know, you're going to school, folks, and so you're going to pay a little bit of tuition in the beginning. So, but yeah, I thought.
That's a good analogy, that you're paying a little tuition, because, you know, I had the same thing. You know, I learned on a curve, and you have to, and there's going to be times when you make a mistake. I wasn't going to share last week a mistake I made, and not a mistake, it's a gamble. Anytime you do an event is a gamble, and I went out of state for an event. I even called Rob. Rob walked me through it because I was going to go ahead and do the lemons as well. And the event was a disaster. We ended up giving away... we took the sugar back with us, but we gave away, I want to say, 1,300 pounds of, or no, 1,300 lemons.
Lemons. Oh, my gosh.
Not pounds, but total lemons. That was interesting, and then you lose, you know, the event fee and stuff like that. So events can be tricky. I was pretty devastated and aggravated, but it's just something you have to do.
Right, they really wanted breakfast, and my experience hasn't shown breakfast to be a good money maker. I've seen people that are pulling it off. I don't know, you know, what that formula is, but you know, they asked us to bring fruit, and so the fruit Darren posted, it didn't work. We sold two apples, and so, you know, there's money out of your pocket now. You know, granted, you can take it home and you can eat the apples, but it's frustrating, and I know that. And I told him, make notes, and so that if you come back next time, and when they start saying breakfast, you say one item only, and have it prepackaged, or, you know, whatever you learn from that event. Start a diary. You know, make something that you can go refer to. And that helps a lot. It really does. Weather, competitive events. I mean, there was a boat show going at the same time. You know, think about, you know, would you want to go serve hot dogs at girls' night out? Well, I think probably a lot of the guys would, because it'd be fun to stand on the corner and watch everybody walking in their heels. But realistically, they're probably going to drink wine and eat salads, you know, and so you probably have a better chance to make money someplace else in the city. And so those things, you know, that's just all comes with experience.
Well, you're right. I still learn, and just like you went up and you did this, and you came from restaurant to vending, and here you learn stuff. I like the fact that you learn, as long as, you know, those learning times don't come all at once, or the expensive lessons, then you can manage it. But it is something to keep in mind. And, you know, my dad used to tell me, he said, no matter what you make, you will spend unless you make rules now. And one of the big things, a lot of people are going from being employed to being self-employed. And when you go to self-employment, if you don't have a structured regiment or a budget set up that says, okay, my dad worded it this way to me and it helped me. He said, pay yourself first. Well, I went, yeehaw, that sounds good. That's how I like it. Mm-hmm. Pay me first and then we'll go. But what he really meant is pay yourself the money that you're not going to spend on bills, the money that you're not going to spend going out to eat. It's the money that you'll always have in case something really bad happens, or if the car breaks down, or somebody rear-ends your cart on the way to a festival that you just paid $3,000 to get into, or whatever. Make sure you have that, because if you are used to making $2,000 a month and spending $2,000 a month, then when you start making $3,000 a month, nothing's going to change. You'll spend $3,000 a month. So in order to change that is to start paying yourself, and do it the 10% method works. Give 10% to yourself. So if you make $2,000 a month or $2,000 a day, take 10% right off the top and put it in a jar, put it in a bucket, put it in the backyard, put it in you know, a savings account. The easier it is to access that money, the easier it is to spend it or to come up with a reason to. It's still your money, but as you start to grow that money and you get $400 or $500 in there, you'll go, oh, I don't want to use that money for going out to eat. That's my stash. That's my money for saving. You know, and then it will also
start working it for itself. You know, you'll get a little interest, and so that helps too. That compound interest, and that's just building up your own insurance. Everybody's going to be carrying insurance policies, but a little backup plan, it never hurts. Maybe you get sick. Maybe you get a great chance to go on a holiday and you just want to take the week off. But, you know, it's so easy to piddle it away when you just get that little bit, and putting it away and having it there, it just makes a lot of difference.
Well, I think it's smart to do that. If you can make yourself do it for a little while, you will start, it'll become habit, and you will, you know, you'd rather chew your arm off than spend that money, because that's your money, and that's how you'll start looking at it. And it's not always 100% effective, and you may have a flat tire or electric bill that comes in way too high, and you have to dip into it a little bit. The nice part is you'll be dipping into your money instead of calling, you know, your brother up going, hey, can y'all help us this month? We're a little short. And these things will help you prepare for – I know vendors right now who only work 5 months a year, 6 months a year, and they're done. And it's because they've learned to manage their money, and they make the rest of that income last them throughout the other months. Now, that's not always going to be the case, but if you did events, let's say, or you had just a phenomenal location, like there's this couple, I talk about them in my book, that have a location deb on a lake, and they make enough money on that lake that they only work 4 months out of the year. And
with a lake view.
Right. So they make – you know, I don't know what they make. They may make $60,000 a year. I mean, $60,000 in those 3 months. But we all know that you can go to events and make big money, or you can find good locations and make big money. It's not always the case, though. So no matter what your location's bringing in, whether it's $75 a day or $200 a day, put 10% back and put that for yourself, mark it as for yourself, and you'll be happy you did later down the road. I'm not going to beat a dead horse to death, but that's really what I wanted to cover. Let's see. Deb, was there anything you wanted to cover that I didn't, or I know I forgot something with MFVA?
Let's see. Well, we've managed. This whole thing is a work in progress. We talked about that before. And just in this week, with being kind of overwhelmed by a wonderful response, we still managed to get some things changed and upgraded and work forward. And Heather now has an automated system that when people register, it automatically gives them their number. So I don't have to hand do that and enter it into a database. It just automatically puts that out there, and you should get a certificate. If you still really want the really beautiful one, send me an email. I'll get that out there. But you will get a certificate and your number right away, along with an application. And that application is really, really important. I need that information so that I can put a location on the map. You know, we need to have all of that. We have a map that is on the website. And I try to put logos. I try to put your location, contact information, so that people that are having festivals can go to that map and say, well, there's an MFVA member right there. Let's call them and see if they want to work this event for us. Or maybe somebody new moves into the neighborhood and they're just starting and they go, well, my gosh, there's an MFVA member right down the road. Maybe they'll give me a hand. I'm still just getting my feet wet. So networking possibilities, some job opportunities. We want that out there. It's a good marketing tool. So that's important. There have been some glitches, and I'm sure we'll continue to discover them, because every time you think that you've got them all covered, somebody has a different type of email or something, and things will go not quite as smooth as we really want them. And I just keep thinking, I can't wait till next year when everybody looks back and goes, do you remember when they first started? Holy cow, is this ever better? But I think that's pretty much it, yeah.
That's an important thing, because there, as this becomes more known and more popular and pulls up quicker on the search engines, there will be people going to there's a lady that owns a publication that sent a letter in about doing a story about, and she's over a huge vending corporation, and she's going to do a newsletter story about the MFVA. Well, all of that's going to go to new eyes and new ears of people that may need a vendor. So I think what it's going to do is create a huge network for us and help all of us. Let's see. If any of y'all, Jason, you can contact Jason anytime until he says enough is enough. But for now, he's told me that any of you can contact him anytime. And so if you have a question about one of the sponsors or one of the packages they're offering or problems with anything, if you will contact Jason, he'll be able to maybe resolve it and get that done. We'll, I guess as we all learn, we'll have clear messages on that board so that we know. How's the chat room doing? Does anybody know? I've been there once.
The chat room, yeah, I've checked in a couple of times. I don't know if we can do it, but I would like to have, because right now you have to kind of go in and just type hello and see if anybody answers back. It's a great chat room. I'm really excited to have it. But, you know, we're kind of hoping that we can get at least a list of people that are in there so that you're not sitting there waiting for a response for a while. I have seen, you can go see what other people have posted. So if you've been there, maybe you can say it is 5 o'clock Pacific time. I'm going to be back in 15 minutes. I hope that, you know, there'll be people here then. So you're not just sitting there waiting.
Right.
I know
Heather was checking into that, Deb, as far as there's supposed to be some features that that you have to pay for, but that they that will allow that, will give more functionality to the chat room. So you can go, oh, okay, there's 35 members here, instead of going, I wonder if anybody's on here. It's kind of stupid the way it is right now.
It's a start.
I mean, unless we plan something, you know, if we planned it, if everybody got on the dog park and said, hey, everybody meet Thursdays at 8, that would be, you know, a good way to start it. Or if there's more mornings available for people, we could do it in the morning once a week or something, and at least have a guaranteed time, you know, you could show up and talk to at least somebody other than yourself.
The forum is working. Yeah, it is working. People are starting to post in there. I'm starting to see more people breaking out into topics, and so that is working. We're still having a little bit of spam, so I have to go through and delete, you know, about, I don't know, I think I delete about 50 spam things a day. But all of this, I mean, gosh, look at Facebook. How long have they been in business, and how many people are they dealing with? And they're still changing and upgrading and learning and stuff. So I feel like we're really off to a good start. We've got a good team in place. We're learning from each other. We're working with the people that are joining, and we just appreciate so much the support and so much the patience, because I know that everybody expects they're going to hit a key that says, I'm in, and that immediately everything will spit right out of them, and it will be polished and pretty, and everything will be working. And I think that it's an amazing value. I think we've got everything in place, but I just anticipate that it's going to get better and better. We've got some room for improvement. We know that.
I love the Staples deal. I actually got a chair that was discounted, excuse me, on that site already, and then they gave me on top of the chair the 42% off because it was over $150, and that, I don't know how they can afford to do it, honestly, unless they just have enormous markups or are buying stuff just dirt cheap, because I felt like I stole the chair. I took the chair model information and did a search, you know, like Brian would do online, and there was nobody within double the price. I couldn't find it. The closest place I found was some internet chair place out of New York, and they were $6 more than double on the same chair. So I know that we don't all need chairs, but the deals are straight across. The 42% applies to anything over $150 on the order.
Prices, discounts, whatever, on top of
right.
that. I mean, that's an amazing thing.
That's
phenomenal.
Don't see
that on QVC.
yeah. You won't
see it. And the free shipping. So, yeah, there's that. And then you were talking, you know, that people could contact Jason, but also contact us if you've got some wonderful product and you know that there is a distributor that we might talk to. And, you know, give us some ideas. Let us know what are you looking for. What can we find? And we'll try to look into that and just keep adding to it.
Even if it's regional, right?
Absolutely. I anticipate that at some point, like most trade associations, I mean, this is off into the vision part of it, but I do anticipate at some point we will be able to break up into regions and then have the MFBA umbrella over the top of all. That's probably in the future. Some of us are kind of doing that within the group right now. We've got quite a few people in the Pacific Northwest that we talk amongst ourselves and share things. You know, we know that there might be, there's a meat distributor in Olympia that Darren told me about, and he had those hot dogs out there, and I would have never known about that place. You know, there's just some hidden gems out there. So, regional is great, and we'll just divide that up and keep it so that we just keep adding.
That is exciting to me as it gets bigger and bigger, and the value to the members, you know, to each of us is going to be bigger and bigger. Let's see. We've got a bunch of people in the chat room, and there's a bunch of people listening live, and that is cool as heck. We even have people listening from overseas in Europe, in Australia.
Wow.
And the Philippines. So that's exciting. So welcome, everybody that's all over the world to Tennessee. I am excited that one Mobile Food Vendor Association, helps sponsor radio shows. Plus, it's a good platform for the group. Obviously, I'm behind the ABA 100%. And it's why we did the discount we did on our website, our new website, because we wanted to support it, and we wanted it to grow, and it's going to benefit us all. I can't wait till we have legal help. There's insurance stuff in the works. There's so much stuff coming down the pike that I am just tickled pink about. And if you want to know any of that stuff, you'll have to squeeze it out of Dev or Jason. But there's stuff coming. And with that, give me just a second.
Yep, they're too sexy for their carts. It's Ben and Rob on HDVR, Hot Dog Vendor Radio. Want to save even more money? Build your own professional hot dog cart. Save over $1,000 at buildacart.com.
Buildacart.com.
You want to roll with the big dog? You need a cart that you can rely on. There's no better way to know your equipment than to build it yourself.
Buildacart.com.
You want to rock your world? Build this cart.
Build it and they will come.
Buildacart.com.
And we're back live on HDVR Hot Dog Vendor Radio, sponsored by Mobile Food Vendor Association and BensCarts.com. And if y'all haven't been to the blog, I don't know if you heard, I've got to toot my own horn. And I screwed up and I got corrected, but it's been on CNN, it's been on MSNBC, it's been on Fox, it's been all over the internet. It's been on the AP Newswire. The most expensive hot dog in the world was the record holder got brought back to the United States. For several months now, it's been in Canada, and with their $100 hot dog, that was 15 times upped plus a dollar, and it was $1,501 for the most expensive hot dog. They sold four that day. All the money went to a charitable organization in Arkansas. Y'all remember Hot Dog Mike, who was on the air with us and told us a bunch of his secrets and tips and tricks. He operates two carts, and one of those is a cash cow from Ben's Carts, and that's what he used to serve the most expensive hot dog in the world on. And that's pretty cool, and it helped the homeless. These people go around. It's called the one van, and they drive around, and they have showers in the van, and they'll do your laundry, and they got this little cool setup, and they feed people, and they have gardens, and they have people come, and homeless people even come and donate time to work in the garden, and then they get to help grow their own food. And even though that doesn't support the whole homeless community in that area, it still provides a little bit, and then all the rest of it comes from donations and people like us that help them. And so it was neat to be, you know, kind of a part of that, and I enjoyed it. If y'all want to read about it, see the videos of Hot Dog Mike, then go over to learnhotdogs.com, and you'll just scroll down the page, and you'll see the blog post. There's several cool blog posts. I finally figured out Twitter and started using it, so I would love it if you'd follow me. And, you know, I'll Twitter you every now and then. That sounds
tweet,
sexy.
Tweet. It's
oh,
tweet.
I'll,
it's
I'll
tweet.
Tweet, and you Twitter. And that sounds
horrible. We don't want to show our age.
it was a neat deal to be a part of. There, trying to think anything else that we covered. The hot dog hooker, that we talked about. She got released. She opened back up, and the police shut her back down because she didn't have the appropriate license. That's what happens when you flaunt yourself in front of the police and tell them, hey, I'll just be right back out on the street. And so they kind of got her. Let's see. I've got to – hold on just a second. I think I've got a caller. Bear with me just a second. I can't find – Deb or Rob, fill me in for a second till we can get so I can figure out how to do this. It's not letting me click on them. And I think this is the gentleman from the yeah, it
looks
is.
Looks like a lot of other people have a lot of trouble with Twitter as well. I'm seeing the Quirky Boo has a hard time tweeting, and there's quite a – somebody said Twitter sucks.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I have a lot of followers.
Leave it to me to find a crappy one.
I don't know. I have a lot of followers. I'm not quite sure how to use it. I know that you can kind of cheat and grab a lot of stuff from other people and put it up there, and they think, oh, well, this is a person to follow. That's
then that's what I need to do then. The bottom line is I started putting some of the news articles onto the Twitter feed, and I'm trying to figure out how to get it over to the Ben's Carts Facebook page because that's where I was posting them. But Twitter is so much quicker. I mean, it's instant, and it works really good. Somebody says they couldn't find me on Pinterest. It's there under Ben's Carts, all one word. I'm not sure. I bet you money. I'll bet you that Brian may possibly be able to find it and post up the link. We'll see if he can do it. I apparently lost that call. That stinks. I think it was Sean Tibbetts, but I'm not positive. We'll just have to go from there. Any other news, Deb, while I've got you?
I can't think of anything right off the top of my head. I've been pretty much on the computer all day. I was supposed to send you Seattle Summer, the video. I forgot. I'm going to post that up. I'm actually giving up my summer for this project. In Washington State, that summer lasts for 5 days, maybe. And we're just having it right now. So it'll be over before probably June gets here. So I'm just telling you people that I've given up my summer. We're still getting a little frost in the morning, too. So, when I drove up to meet Darren, there was a little bit of frost on the road. But we don't need air conditioners. We don't use those air conditioners. So that works out for us.
Well, I guess not. It's not that warm for very long out there, is it?
No, not at all. It's a whole different world out here, and oftentimes people will say, call me in the morning, and I will, and gosh, they're at lunch already. So it's nice that we're seeing more people on the West Coast show up in the dog park, and we can talk on our own time and stay up a little later than you folks on the East Coast.
Well, I am, I've got... I'm going to have to try to call Sean here in a minute and see if we can get him on. They've got a really neat story, and what they've done will help us. And as we team together, and I think there is another food truck association that is not this one that is talking about linking with us, maybe a chapter of MFVA or something, so that they can grow their numbers and be a bigger presence. I have never been so stumped for stuff to come up with. My mind's racing, and I probably should turn off my side of the chat room because I keep getting messages, and my mind, you know, works like a steel trap. Nothing gets in, nothing gets out. And so I can get, I'm like that, what's that on Ice Age? The squirrel, you know, and he goes, squirrel. And he's in the middle of doing something, he goes, squirrel. But that's how I feel sometimes. And it's just the way it is. I do want to discuss something that I got two different calls today about. And I also would like to tell y'all a story about a vendor. And y'all may know him, but he is in Washington State. He's in, and tell me if I pronounce this right, Deb, Sonoma County. It's a...
Snohomish.
There you go. That's the county. And I had about an hour and 15-minute conversation with the health inspector. The health inspector had been communicating with this vendor via email. And in the email, he flat out told him, your cart can't be approved. You need an NSF cart. Here's a company to buy it from. I have already called them, and they are expecting your call, and all their equipment is NSF approved. Well, his use of the word approved told me he didn't know anything about NSF because they don't approve anything. They certify stuff, which you can say that's semantics, but there is a huge difference when it comes to it gave me insight into whether he knew what he was talking about is the bottom line. So, Deb, what I did is I called him, spoke with him, and I told him I was in receipt of these emails. And it turns out the company he referred just got opened. And I don't know if they're family or friends of his or what, but they're in Oregon, this other company, and they're brand new. And they I don't hate to beat up somebody's carts, but that one, there's nothing on them that would be NSF certified. They're as homemade gets with a website telling you they have carts. And so when I confronted him with this and told him what he had, you know, what he had violated by demanding NSF, he started backpedaling. And all in all, I think it's all going to work out, and this gentleman will be able to start slinging weenies in Nahoma or Nahoma or however you say that county.
Nahomish.
It's not spelled Nahomish. It's spelled...
No, Snohomish. Snohomish.
Snuh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody was drunk when they come up with that name.
We also have Puyallup.
You know what? I bet it's not drunk. I bet those are Indian names, aren't they?
They are.
Okay. That makes more sense. We have got I think it's going to work out. The moral of that story is that ask them to show you in the records. What I did to this gentleman today is I said, sir, I need you to provide me where it says this in your code. And he stated, I'll send you the code book, you know, the code, the PDF. And I said, no, sir, I already have a copy of your code. That's available online. I need to know where it states this and this. And he said, well, I'll have to get back with you. And he emailed back and said that it would be, now listen to this, this is no joke. He told me it would be August because he was going to be leaving and there would be nobody taking his place. And so I called his office two more times, finally got him, and he was giving me the runaround. So I've reported him to the state level, but apparently, you know, Snohomish County can do whatever they want. They don't really even have a county health department. What that is an independent agency kind of deal, health department. And they, they've made up their own rules that contradict in many ways the state rules. And then they turn around and they say, we don't take taxpayers' dollars, so we don't have to answer to the taxpayer because we only charge the vendor themselves. The vendor pays his way. He pays our salary. And I said, well, isn't that kind of the taxpayer? And he goes, how so? And I said, well, the vendor's a taxpayer, and he's paying a tax for the service because he's required to do this by the county. And second, where's the vendor going to get the money? The vendor's going to get the money from his customers over time, which means those customers are paying the tax. So all in all, it's still taxed, and you're still a public servant. And we went round and round, but I think we finally got to the bottom of it, and I think the gentleman's going to get to work. But always ask them, if their lips are moving, they're lying, ask them to show you where it says it, because 9 times out of 10, they won't be able to do it. And
I have a question.
Okay.
Hearing you say that, it sounds all very well and good. Would you recommend that a vendor – who is going up against a health department inspector or an official, would you recommend that they do that themselves when they are caught with that, or would you recommend that they call in help?
Well, if they call in help, I don't mind to help any of them, and I've done it several times to great success, and that doesn't mean it's always going to work out our way, but I would tell them to be polite, be diplomatic, and say,
yeah.
Yeah, I've been going through the, you know, be humble in your wording and say, I've been going through the, you know, the state codes, and I just couldn't find it. Is there any way you could possibly show me where it states that I need to have pink refrigerators and I'm supposed to wear earrings down to my kneecaps? I just can't find it. And what you'll find is they'll hem-haw around and either just renege on what they said, or we had a lady recently in New Mexico that did the same thing. This was a female vendor. She's on the dog park. I'm almost positive she's on the dog park. And she contacted them and said, could you tell me, you know, where I can find this rule? I'm trying to make sure that I match everything up. And they couldn't, and they just backed away from it. They said, oh, okay, well, that's fine then. We won't do that. Nick Durham, I don't know if y'all know who I'm talking about, but he's been on the show before, called today in Texas. A lady in one of the counties there told the vendor that he had to have a sink up beside his he had to have a sink up beside the steam table that was for hand washing while he's cooking, that it couldn't be more than 2 or 3 steps away from him. Once Nick asked for those, where it said, stated in that regs, they backed away from it. Today that happened, just today. So we've had 2 pretty amazing deals happen just today, and the other one I was telling you about in New Mexico happened, I guess it was yesterday or maybe it was yesterday I heard about it, and it was last Friday or Thursday. But either way, that was... The gist is ask them, but be polite. Now, I'm not going to be as polite if you call me and tell me, hey, Dan, I need you to call and see if you can help me. I'm going to try to be diplomatic, but I'm going to be a little more forceful probably. And not in a way that would jeopardize your situation. But if you're too soft, they're just going to bulldoze you.
Right.
They'll just
tell
you, that's the way it is.
And that, again, comes with some experience, and I think that comes – there's a lot of people talking in the dog park, and that'll get moved over to those forums. But just in addressing your health department, and the other thing I've noticed with health departments, with all the cutbacks in government, we do not have as many people in the office. So when they come out, they're pretty ragged. And so there has been, you know, there has been some discrepancies. There have been some tense moments. But, you know, everybody just needs to hang tight, do a good job, follow the experiences of others so you don't have to learn that rule the hard way. And call Ben. Always call Ben if you get into trouble.
Well, I can't do them all, obviously, and sometimes I'll just, you know, kind of guide you on what to say, but I don't care to help anyone that meets a challenge. You know, Rob Merlino was on here a couple weeks ago, and he had the same kind of issue. He helped a vendor they were trying to bulldoze the vendor, and the rules weren't there to back it up. And so they had to get a little bit of things changed, but the bottom line is it was all to discriminate against the vendor. And that's what we're going to, as Mobile Food Vendors grows, it will become a powerhouse, and they will dread. It's like if you got called tomorrow with your business because you just fired somebody who stole $5 off your hot dog cart, and you caught them red-handed, and the ACLU calls you, you'll probably get nervous. And so that's the kind of things we have to look for.
Somebody just posted in there that wrestling with the health department is like wrestling with the pig in the mud. Sooner or later, you figure out the pig loves it.
That's beautiful.
So that will be our thought for the day.
I like that. Okay. If anyone has any questions, I would love it if you'd call in and ask them. We do have a caller on the line. I'm not sure it is, but I'm going to go ahead and open the line and see. Deb, if you would like to stay on the line, we'd love to have you, and maybe you can help us, because apparently I'm doing a crappy job tonight, and Rob is still cleaning lemonade stuff, and he's at a loss for words like me, apparently.
I'm still here. I'm just knee-deep and trying to get everything done I need to get done. So just bear with me, folks. I'll be with you just a minute, Ben.
All right. Are you enjoying the show? Want to hear more for free? Head on over to blogtalkradio.com/Ben's Carts or Google HDVR, Hot Dog Vendor Radio. All the jam-packed episodes are available, and they are all free. And now you can get them through iTunes. Subscribe today. It's half off, and half off nothing is still nothing.
You're listening to Hot Dog Vendor Radio with Ben and Rob. In a world where no one cares, one man on a mission to help hot dog vendors worldwide. Boldly facing health inspectors everywhere.
Ben?
Providing tips and videos to help the less fortunate. It's HDVR, Hot Dog Vendor Radio. With Ben and Rob. Brought to you by Mobile Food Vendors Association and Ben'sCarts.com.
Gotta love Mr. Rob Harper, who produced those commercials. That is just a professional job. It just turned it made the show 300% better. And it didn't take much to make it better, but he made it a lot better. And so we almost sound professional. I'm going to take a call here real quick, Deb.
You bet.
This is Ben. You're live on Hot Dog Vendor Radio with Rob, Ben, and Deb. How can we help you?
Good evening, Rob, Ben, and Deb. This is Sean Tibbetts, the director of the Bluegrass Food Truck Association.
Man, am I glad to hear from you. I thought I had dropped your call earlier. I kept clicking the button, and it would spin, and nothing would happen. Was that you that called in earlier?
No, it wasn't me. I was actually running a little late tonight. My apologies, but I'm here.
Well, it's no problem. Tell us who you are, what you do, and I gave a little bit of background, but very little. So go ahead and tell us. Share with us.
Sure thing. Well, my name's Sean Tibbetts. I'm the owner-operator of a food truck in Lexington, Kentucky called Cluckenburger. We sell Jamaican jerk chicken hamburgers with all different flavors, from the dumb cluck to the clucking jerk to the brave mother clucker. So it's kind of a different menu that we do. We have a lot of fans, a lot of folks that really love the hot stuff. So every time we make it hotter, the more people come out. But I recently got into this whole food truck thing about 3 years ago with my wife. And we first decided we were going to take an old camper and remodel it. And as soon as we tore the front wall out, we found that there was, you know, less wood than there was water damage. So we sold that camper on Craigslist and went and bought a used snow cone trailer. And put a griddle in and a hood and the new sandwich cooler and all that jazz and converted it into our food truck. Decided we'd go out and start making money at arts and fairs and art fairs and festivals and all that kind of stuff. And our first show out, I talked to all these other restaurant owners who had always done the show. They said, plan to feed 1,000 people. I got the refrigerated truck. I ordered hundreds of pounds of chicken, the whole kit and caboodle. I sold 60 hamburgers our first weekend out. So that was
a brutal lesson.
It was a rude awakening into the food truck business. Yes, it was. But since then, my wife and I have been partnering with other businesses and figuring out how to jump through all the legal loopholes in Fayette County, or the legal wickets, if you will, and it's extremely difficult. And as it turns out, there was a taco truck that was set up illegally over on the west side of our city, and some neighborhood association folks had actually complained to the city council, and they formed this thing called the Itinerant Merchant Task Force. And the Itinerant Merchant Task Force's job was to figure out how to regulate mobile vendors in Fayette County. So we've worked with them for the last year or so. We had a food truck operator on the task force, and he was doing the best that he could with them. And recently, back in January, a local neighborhood association for the restaurant district actually complained at a subcommittee meeting and said that food trucks should be banned entirely. And, in fact, their sidewalk cafes should be extended from 25 feet to 50 feet instead. Well, my background, I'm a short, fiery redhead that's ex-military and with a degree in public relations. So I just couldn't sit still anymore.
That's an oxymoron.
It was quite the skill set pulled together in one shot there. But so within 24 hours, I mean, we had filed the paperwork with the Secretary of State, set up our nonprofit, set up our LLC, got our website going, got Facebook going, got Twitter going. Now we're up around 300, 400 fans somewhere in there. Every time we post something, it's more like 66,000 is our weekly reach. So the social media thing has just exploded for us. On the dark side of all of this, we had an Itinerant Merchant Task Force meeting as late as yesterday afternoon, where new regulations were introduced on Friday before the Monday meeting. Those regulations include distance restrictions from an open-like business, and they don't define like. They include restrictions from other stationary vendors, so food trucks have to be so many feet apart. They include hour restrictions that limit us to public land only from 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. and only on an 8-block by 4-block radius little circle of our downtown area. Everywhere else in the county is off limits. And so just some pretty horrendous regulations coming at us. And so I formed a couple of months ago this food truck association and gathered all the food truck owners in town together, and we get together every couple of weeks and go over the current regulation and how to get legal and what the proper steps are to be legal in our county and follow the state rules as well as the county rules. And at the same time, we're lobbying against this task force to try to keep these really restrictive rules from being put into place. And the association has made all the difference in the world. Before this, there was no media attention at all. After the association, our little town here, we've got about 300,000 people or so. We've got 4 TV stations. We've been on all 4 of them. We've got 2 radio station companies that own all the stations in town. One of them has run PSA announcements for us on all 8 of their stations. All of the local papers, the neighborhood papers, business papers, progressive papers, all of those folks have written articles for us. And we've even landed on the front page of our actual local newspaper, the Herald Leader. So the association working as one unit and one voice and really bringing to light the regulations that they're trying to pass has actually given us an immense amount of attention in the media and the traditional media as well. So that's our story. It's kind of long, but that's our story.
Well,
that's an awesome story.
So where are you now as far as what is the goal and what do you see coming with these changes and these challenges?
Well, the goal, of course, is to be allowed to operate on public land like any other business. We really
right.
struggle when they say that public land is for everybody. Well, we're everybody, too. On a regular basis, I hear that the brick and mortars are more invested in our downtown than the mobile food trucks are because they can pick up and leave. Well, I see that as a lack of innovation on the mobile, on the restaurant owner's part. There's nothing that says
yeah.
that he can't sell his restaurant and move either.
Exactly.
So that one just kills me. They talk about taxes. Well, we pay property taxes on our vehicles. They pay property taxes on their building. We also pay a mobile usage vehicle tax in the state of Kentucky. It's 6% that they don't pay. We pay our Division of Revenue $250 a year just to be allowed to operate as an itinerant merchant, in addition to a $500 cash bond. They pay none of that. They pay one $100 fee for a business license, and that's it. Our health department, we pay $30 every 2 weeks. They pay once a year to be inspected at $35.
Golly.
The scales are definitely tipped against the food truck operators. The best example I can give, we did a big food truck rally a couple of weeks ago, and we had 7 trucks come out on a Friday and 4 out on a Saturday, served over 1,500 people, got all the press out there. It was a phenomenal event. But on the flip side, the part that a lot of people didn't know was we had actually invited over 40 trucks from Louisville, Kentucky. It's just an hour away. And out of those 40 trucks, only 3 accepted the challenge of getting through all the wickets in Fayette County. And out of those three, only one made it by the time of the day of the show. So we invited 40 trucks that are experienced food truck operators an hour away, and only one made it through the whole process.
Golly.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. They have to be, the other members have to be just blown away with the support, one, that y'all have done so quickly. What advice, you know, we've been around for a while, a lot longer than y'all, but we've been in and out. We've been like, you know, in the Dead Sea, bobbing around, trying to put it all together. And it's come together. But what advice would you give somebody like us?
Well, the clearest thing that I've done is with the bluegrassfoodtrucks.org website. That's where I write news articles on a fairly regular basis. I try to get something out there at least once a week. And sometimes I'm not as good at it as I should be, but the goal is at least once a week. And what I've really done with those news articles is try to take the regulations and put them into plain English so people understand the real impact of these regulations, and then link to it and cite the actual section of the regulation that proves my point. And every time that I've done that, I've done it twice here in the last month and a half or so, and those two articles have gone, by definition, of viral. We've got 300 fans on our page. We see those two things get shared out and more people watching that it gets into the tens of thousands. So the biggest piece of advice I can offer is content, content, content. Keep the content fresh and new and make it matter to people. Because the biggest thing that I've managed to do with our messaging, again, I've got a degree in public relations, so I recognize there are three audiences that are interested in the whole food truck movement, and especially when governments try to shut them down, and it's our job to tap into those audiences and get them mad. And when they get mad, they're going to support you 100%. What those audiences are foodies, number one, people that just want additional options. They want more food. They want creative food. They're behind the food trucks 100%. The next group of people that really helps us a lot are the people who are the government watchdogs and the ones who just hate it when government oversteps their bounds. Any group like that you can get in touch with, they're going to retweet your tweets, repost your Facebook, write articles for you to the local paper.
Give me an example of who that would be.
Well, a great one that we've gotten in touch with is actually some real estate developers here in town, because the regulations in Lexington actually limit what you can do on private property, including an empty parking lot. So some of the developers in town would like to see us set up on those empty parking lots, but because of these rules, they're not allowed to. So they're being denied the opportunity to rent us those parking lots and set up food truck courts, all because some restaurant doesn't want us within 200 feet. So those folks get really upset. Private property owners, the other ones that we've talked to, I'm getting ready to deliver a speech to the Rotary Club locally. So anywhere you can get in front of the business owners and the folks that really make things move in government, that one really, really helps. And then the last one, actually, that we've been reaching out to are nonprofits, because if you read through a lot of the regulations, there's exceptions in place for nonprofits. But you read the last sentence of those, and they'll say a nonprofit is accepted either from the fee or from the location restriction or the hour restriction, so long as they are conducting business in support of the nonprofit. Well, that means all the events like vendor fairs where churches rent out their space and people come in and set up and sell goods, anything that a church or a Boy Scout troop does where they're reselling a product of somebody else's, that's all illegal, because they're not doing a service and they're not making a sale in support of their organization. At the end of the day, the profits are going someplace else. Therefore, it's illegal. When we reach out to these nonprofit organizations and other businesses that are impacted, they really get fired up. One of the ones I've got fired up in our town right now is actually the local cab company. Because a lot of these restrictions, if you look across the country, stationary, the word stationary for stationary merchant is never defined. They don't say if that's that I sat still for 5 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour, or what's the real definition of stationary. So the other folks that are impacted by this is cab drivers and taxi drivers. They sit in public parking spaces. They sit on public streets. They provide a service that receives cash at the time of delivery. There is no difference between a cab driver and a stationary merchant in most regulations. So when we get those folks fired up, we pack meeting rooms and they start calling all the council members because they have all their cell phone numbers. So the cab companies have been a phenomenal one for us as well.
Golly. I would have never thought that the codes would read that way, where the same rules would apply or affect both people. Something such as a cab driver, you wouldn't even think had any relation to a mobile food vendor. So that's an interesting twist and an attack plan, and it helps garner support. That's what I know that we all need. And it's not that everybody is facing these uphill climbs, but there's enough of us out there that are facing them and have faced them that we would like to see it fair across the board.
Exactly. So, and honestly, the biggest piece that we've done well is reach out to organizations bigger than us. And every time I get them involved, I send them tweets directly, especially our local magazines and local newspapers. Every time I send something to an organization bigger than me, they send it out to their audience. And so instead of me having to reach 11,000 people, our local Ace Weekly magazine does it for me every time I send them something that they find interesting. So I just constantly send information and write news stories and get that information out there and show how it affects people other than the food trucks. And every time they see that, they really get upset. They really do. Because the other group to think about that a lot of food trucks and itinerant merchants don't consider are the direct sales representatives, folks that sell Mary Kay and Amway and 31 and Pampered Chef and all of those type folks. They do sales in public space. They use public space for a cash transaction. It applies to them as well.
That is incredible.
Good point. Very good point. I'm taking notes.
I'm glad I was just fixing to ask if Deb was taking notes.
I'm taking notes, yeah.
This would make good information for our newsletter and blog.
Absolutely.
Man, that's important information. I am blown away how quick you have obtained this information and gathered up the support you have. I mean, you're talking literally 3 months, right? 4 months?
It was March 4th was the day that we founded the organization. So it's literally just a little over 2 months, and in that time we've put together a food truck rally. We've got a very serious presence online. One of the other things that we've done is we had T-shirts printed up. They all say free the food trucks on the front of them and have our website underneath it. And we let people know that the money for those T-shirts actually goes to pay our security guard for our food truck rally. Not that the association is trying to make a bunch of extra money. It's not some fundraiser for us, but it really is just to pay our real costs. And when we do that, we tend to sell a lot more of those.
Man.
How large is your community? You said that you were close to Lexington.
Yes, are you where we're at? So right now, I think Lexington's around 270,000 people, something along those lines. An interesting little factoid about Lexington that makes our life as food truckers more difficult is Lexington, Kentucky actually has more restaurants per capita than any other city in the country. Lexington is where corporate restaurants go to try out their idea, and if they can survive in Lexington for 18 months, they can survive anywhere. So when we get resistance from the brick-and-mortar restaurants, we're getting resistance from some pretty serious corporations.
Hey, I just heard something over on the chat room, Sean, that is interesting. Yankee Dogs posted up that there's also a program to join with Homeland Security. Since we are in the streets, we can be watchdogs. And that they actually have programs that sponsor that type of stuff.
They do. Actually, as the gods would have it, my day job is that I'm the IT director for the Army Career and Alumni Program in Fort Knox. And what we do is, as vets get ready to transition out of the military, we teach them interview skills, get them a resume, set them up with companies that give preferential treatments to vets, and try to get them placed in jobs. But because I work with the military, I go through that training every single year. And there's a number. It's 1-800-CALL-SPY is the telephone number. But you can call that number and be set up with that program, and that's correct. You could be used as not only a part of Homeland Security, but also Neighborhood Watch. So all the regulations that are saying we're not allowed to be in a residential zone, period, why not? Couldn't we contribute to the Neighborhood Watch programs there?
Well, you know what's interesting, and I'm sure you are aware of it, but on IJ's website, they have that beautiful PDF, and I have it over on my blog as well, and it talks about the statistics behind safer streets with vendors across America, that the streets
right.
are statistically safer that have vendors on them.
That's true. My favorite one, actually, though, is a lot of the folks in Lexington now, we have another regulation in there that says you're not allowed to set up in any public space or public right-of-way that causes a blockage or would cause a blockage of a public right-of-way.
And the whole would cause a blockage thing really bothers me. How does one define whether or not they would cause a blockage or not? Does that mean that somebody had to alter their walking path or that people actually can't get through? Or what does that definition really mean? So so there's some regulations
yeah.
like that, that we're struggling with. We're reaching out to attorneys to try to get some definitions wrapped into them. But, again, when I put that type of information out on our website and on our news, people just latch onto it and send it everywhere. So. Yeah, it's been an exciting adventure, guys. I'll be honest. I had no intention of becoming the director of a food truck association and taking on my local city council, but, you know, so be it. It's happened.
I think it's neat that it's big enough that you got enough people to do it and to be a voice. I mean, that's just incredible. We're trying to drum up membership nationwide, and it's been a slow process. But I'm glad it's coming, you know, to fruition finally. But hopefully we'll be as powerful as state CLU.
And we can
call
the shots
or at least raise
warning
flags when
states
or
any
local
government
tries to
tread
on
our
rights.
Right. Well, the piece of advice and I guess the encouraging words that I'll share with everybody was when my wife and I sat down and decided to start this thing, we just called the people that we knew. And the first meeting of the association had a grand total of 7 people at it, and we represented 3 different businesses. The last meeting that we had 26 people at it and represented over 14 different businesses. So in a matter of 8 weeks, just by talking, by meeting regularly, by telling people what we're about, what's going on, keeping them informed in the local media, our numbers and our ranks have just doubled and tripled every week.
Golly.
Right.
Well, I'm going to be in touch with you, and I hope Deb does as well so that we can, you know, steal any advice you can give us.
Sure thing.
And we'd love to welcome your members over if it is beneficial to them at all. I know the numbers purely are beneficial, but we'd love it, and you're welcome to throw around our numbers. We'd love it.
That'd be great. We can do that. And I'm available. I'm more than happy to hang on the line and answer questions for folks that call in or be a part of the discussion tonight. I'm set aside for you, Ben.
Well, I am incredibly thankful that you would take the time to share with us. I know that information is not easily gathered and that it took a lot of work. And you helped us cut to the chase on many things that will save us time in the future. And so I really appreciate you taking the time to call in tonight.
Sure thing.
Sure thing.
I appreciate the opportunity. That's the other thing, Ben, I'll tell you, is that the more this message gets out there, one of the things I share with folks a lot is we have a petition program going on where we get folks to sign the petitions to support food trucks on public land. And I have people all the time that tell me, absolutely not. Sean, there's no way I'm going to sign that petition. You guys shouldn't be allowed to steal from these brick and mortars. They work so much harder than you do. And I get the whole argument right. So I sit down with them, and even if it takes 45 minutes, at the end of that 45 minutes, after they have a full education of what the rules are, how it's unequal, where the balance really should be coming from, I end up with their signature on my petition every single time. So when I see shows like this and I see opportunities to get the message out there, I realize the more we educate people, the more we can get that 15, 20 minutes of them just to listen and understand the issues, the more people we get on our side.
And you're using the traditional paper, old-fashioned petitions. You're not going online. Are you using those also? I know that we had some doggers that were using some online services to get petitions out there in smaller towns. And a lot of the people that were signing from out of the area. How do you think that stacks up? Should they be instead Xeroxing copies, leaving those with people and getting the word out locally? Or do you feel, how do you think that all works?
Well, we actually do use an online petition. It's ipetition.com. But I'll be
okay.
honest, on our online petition, we have around 200 signatures. But on our petitions that we walk around with a clipboard, and whenever we set up the truck, we always have the petitions available. We've even been known to, you know, not so clandestinely, wear our Free the Food Truck T-shirts and walk through downtown events. And when people see us in the T-shirts, they say, oh, aren't you guys the guys with the petitions? And of course we are. And we pull it out and let them sign it. And our paper petitions, we've gathered over 500 signatures with about 3 days' worth of work. So I will say the paper signatures tend to produce a whole lot faster, and it doesn't take as much effort as everybody thinks it does. You just set them out there on your countertop as you're serving food. People will ask you what it's about, and getting the signatures is so easy.
I
would imagine, especially when you're giving them a good product right there. How can they turn that down?
Exactly. And ours is a chicken burger, so it takes a few minutes for it to cook. So I use that 4 minutes every time to talk to them, tell them what the issues are, tell them who their council member is, and if I can find it, give them their council member's telephone number to call them and complain. I use that 4 minutes for everything I can.
Before you go, I want to know what a chicken burger is.
Well, I actually take boneless, skinless chicken breast and grind that up at a local butcher. And I was taught in Jamaica how to make jerk spice from scratch by the jerk chefs down there in the grill. So I make my jerk spice homemade every morning from veggies and spices. I mix that into the ground chicken, serve it up as a patty on a bun, little lettuce, tomato, onion, pickle, mustard, mayo, ketchup, however it takes your burger, with some Swiss over the top. It's just phenomenal on a bun.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds delicious. I just didn't know. I didn't know if it was a real burger, you know, as far as made out of chicken, but a real burger. But I've never had one, so.
It is. That's because they didn't exist until I invented them, Ben.
Well, I love it. I love it. You'll be Chick-fil-A's next competitor.
There we go.
If you'll just start working on Sundays only, you'll have them beat.
Exactly. Home market, they're not serving.
That's true. That is true. Well, the I guess if there's nothing else you have to add, or if you have something to add, go ahead and tell me. I've got some other callers waiting, and I do want to thank you for your time and sharing all this advice and your experience.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me. I'm actually going to jump on the website now and be in the chat room here shortly, so be available to
answer questions
there.
We'd love
it. Excellent.
Thank
you.
All right. Sean.
I shall see you online.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful night.
All right. Thank you, Ben, Deb, and what's the other fellow?
Rob,
that's it. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
You too. See
you. You too. See you in the chat room.
Okay, Deb, we've got some calls holding. I think that I need to do this real quick.
Mobile Food Vendors Association, mymfva.org. If you like specials and freebies and discounts off carts from the leading manufacturers, you need to check out mymfva.org. You can get discounts on everything you will need to run a successful business. They'll even tell you where you can buy all those necessities at the absolute lowest price. For more details, visit mymfva.org. He's cornier than an outhouse at a summertime family reunion. It's Ben on HDVR, Hot Dog Vendor Radio.
And we're back, and we're going to pick up a live call here. This is Ben. You're on Hot Dog Vendor Radio Live. Is this Corey?
This is Corey. Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in. I know that you have a story that we need to hear, and it's also on the subject that we've happened to be on tonight.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I have. I've been having a lot of issues with being shut down from the city, and there's a lot, like the caller that was just on. There's a lot of unclear rules, and you know, I'm finding out that it's kind of a tangled web, and everybody has their own interpretation of it. And I just kind of decided to take it on, take it head on. And Rob Merlino actually helped me spearhead this. He found out about my issue. I had actually put a call into him, and he basically had put a blog out. And it was kind of a pretty harsh post that he had put on his blog, but it got the attention of the city hall. And City Hall basically started calling him up, and you know, when I couldn't get when I couldn't get a call back, I started getting calls. And you know, I'm coming to find out that a lot of these ordinances in my city have been in effect since the early '60s, without any updating or anything like that. And the current way that it stands in my city is I am not allowed to vend on public property. That includes city streets. I'm not allowed to vend within 100 feet of a park, picnic area, or playground. And I was well aware of these ordinances when I first opened up last year. And I had a private property on a pretty busy street, actually one of the busiest streets in the city, and I was doing pretty well last year. I was open maybe October and November, because it took them from April to September for them to actually give me the permits. Because like I, you know, like we had talked to Rob about,
right.
I had a health inspector that basically was on vacation, and there was no one to fill their spot. They basically, you know, if that person died, apparently you wouldn't get a permit. And, you know, so I basically had to wait till September. So I opened up the end of last year on a private property with no issues at all. And then I started finding out that there was a local neighborhood organization that is kind of headed by this guy who used me as kind of his pet project. And he basically started citing to the building department all these ordinances that they weren't even aware of. And, you know, they basically had to enforce these ordinances. And one of the ordinances they had was that I cannot vend on private property either, which I was vending on. And the reason they said I couldn't vend on private property was because if I'm staying stationary for any length of time, they consider me a fast food restaurant. And I am in need of 25 dedicated parking spaces for my business, which, you know, the property owner was a friend of mine, but he was limited on parking spaces to begin with. So they pretty much tied my hands in the city with being able to operate. And as it stands right now, the only time I can operate in the city is from June 1st to September 30th. From 10 at night to 2 in the morning. And like I said, I, you know, it's one of those
That's
things
stupid.
Where, you know, it is pretty stupid. And the thing is, it was just brought up to city council. I actually created a petition like the gentleman that was just on, and I have an online petition that has about 127 signatures, which it's not really admissible to the city, you know, to the city of New Bedford when the public meeting comes up and this actually, you know, materializes. But I have about 150 signatures, and I'm really targeting businesses that, you know, to support this food truck ordinance. And what I'm finding is where I was, there was three other hot dog businesses, brick-and-mortar businesses that were within a mile and a half of where I am. And I've gotten their signatures on the petition. And the gentleman who is basically causing all the issues, he is a donut place, you know, and his big thing is the private property, and they pay property taxes. And one of the things when that was first brought up, I started thinking about it, and I said, you know, geez, property taxes, you know, they're using property taxes as an argument as to why I shouldn't be allowed to make a living. And I started thinking about it, and I said, you know, if I rented a storefront, the property owner would pay the property taxes, not the person renting the store. So that argument was pretty weak. And after talking to some of the city council members, I basically got the support of every single one of them. They all have, you know, I was very surprised that this past Thursday's meeting was when this ordinance change was brought up to the city council and actually put on the table. And four or five of them stood up, and they basically agreed that these things have to be changed, and they agreed that, you know, in the city of Boston is cashing in on food truck owners. They're making a lot of money. That, you know, they're basically charging these food truck owners property taxes to locate their trucks on city streets. And, you know, the food truck owners are happy to pay the property taxes because they're able to operate. You know, where, you know, last year was the first year these food trucks in Boston were able to operate, and they're all flourishing. They're all doing well, to the point where this year they actually expanded their food truck initiative, and they've increased the spaces. And, you know, what I like about it is, on the city of Boston, this is kind of how me and some of the city council have been speaking about trying to mold a food truck ordinance that we have in the city after the one that's in Boston. because, you know, in Boston they have, like I said, these food trucks, you know, they'll have different spots throughout the day where in the morning from 11 to 4 they might have a spot in front of Boston University. And then on the other side of the city they have a spot from 5 to 9. And every day they're in different spots, but on the city website they have basically a food truck locator where you can actually put in the time of day, the food truck you're looking for, and you can actually locate your favorite food truck. And which I thought was kind of cool, and you know, and like I said, it seems to be working in Boston, and you know, New Bedford is one of those, you know, cities and towns where they have a strong, you know, it's an older town, and a lot of people don't want to change, but you know, the city council seems willing to do it, so I'm giving them their rope and I'm letting them do what they need to do, but meanwhile I'm getting all the signatures I need, and I'm getting the awareness out there of you know.
Well, can we? Are we allowed to sign your petition?
Yes, definitely. I have on my Facebook page, I have the online petition, and I also have a paper petition that I'm handing around. It's only good for the local residents because that's the only way I can submit it to the city. But the on my Facebook page, it's facebook.com/Fenway Sausage Works. I have the petition on there on one of my posts, and like I said, I have about 127 signatures on there, and the strange thing on there is I have people all over the world that have signed this petition from India. You know, I was just amazed at some of the countries that have actually, you know, people that are signing in from it. It was kind of a, you know, I got a little snicker out of it, you know. And but like I said, it's going to be a slow-going transition to change this ordinance, and, you know, I was kind of doing the math, and it looks like that it's not going to be till probably early next year that till this ordinance is going to change. And you said Rob actually was one of the first ones to actually to get this thing noticed, to the point where just a couple weeks ago I received an email from the Institute for Justice. And they basically told me, I don't know who had tipped them off to my Facebook page, but they let me know that they had been following my posts on my Facebook page and they were very interested in helping me out.
That is incredible. I like that.
Yeah, and yeah, it was great. You know, like I said, they've actually exchanged a couple emails with me, and they basically told me that, you know, if, you know, I informed them of basically everything that's been going on with the city council, and they, along with Rob and myself, agree that the city wants to do the right thing. Whether they do or not is, you know, remains to be seen, but I'm going to give them the chance to do it the right way.
Right.
And the Institute for Justice has basically told me that they will help me in any way they can, preparing my statements for the public meeting, helping me pack the house, you know, just giving me little tips on my petition that I should include email so that I can inform the people who signed my petition of upcoming events, whether it be a public meeting or a rally or anything like that, so I can get a hold of them and try to rally people up. And they also told me that, if, you know, when it comes down to it, if the city council doesn't do the right thing, then, you know, they might consider helping me with legal action. You know, which I thought was pretty nice of them, and they sent me a whole packet of legalized street food stickers for people's cars, and they sent me about 400 of them in the mail the other day.
And, that is awesome.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, it's nice
that
we have organizations like that. You know.
So, do you have your petition? I know that Brian posted the link to your Facebook page, but do you have a petition online that you could get? Get to us so that we could send that out in the MFVA newsletter. Deb could get that out, or I'll even put it on my blog and try to get you some support outside of the area by other vendors.
Excellent. Yeah, what I'll do is I have it on my page. What I'll do is I'll post it on the I'll post it on the blog site in a couple minutes.
Okay.
So that everybody can get it.
All right.
I have it on. I don't know how far down on my post it really is, but like I said, I have it on there. But like I said, things are going good. It's, you know, as of right now, the only time I can really operate is you know, from June 1st to September 30th, and I'm hoping that I do pretty well during that time because my hands are pretty much tied, and it's tough.
We're behind you. Just know we'll support you. Brian Shore's already put up the petition, your petition, on the chat room. So anybody that's got 2 seconds, go over there and sign the petition. We'd love it, and it'll help out a lot of people. I want to thank you for coming on and filling us in with what's going on. The last we heard was from Rob, and so I'm excited that at least things are being done and you're getting the support. And we'll see if we can't gather up some more support for you. please keep us updated.
I want to say one thing, if you actually, for 1 second, Rob actually had contacted me the other day, and I don't know if you I'm sure you're aware that Rob does the hot dog stories.
Yep.
And one of the things that, Rob had actually in the beginning had told me that he put me on the hot dog stories until, then I get shut down and I ran into those snags, and I was kind of bummed that I wasn't going to be able to be on the hot dog stories. And Rob is basically, he's been gracious enough to accommodate me and has told me that on, to kick off National Hot Dog Month on July 1st, which is actually a Saturday night, he's going to do a midnight hot dog story session, which I'm pretty excited about. So I just wanted to, give a shout out to Rob and say thank you for the support and, squeezing me in. So it should
that
be a
is
fun
awesome.
Time.
Excellent. That is awesome. I think the world of Rob, and I love what he's doing, and all of these people that are like Sean that are bringing attention and raising awareness. And I love having people like both of them that have some additional knowledge that we just simply didn't have, or at least I didn't have. It's neat to hear this stuff and to see that we can make changes. I want to tell everybody we've only got about 30 minutes left in the show, and we've been asked about the free giveaways and stuff. I do want to tell you that Dennis, and I swear, I hope I don't butcher this up, Dennis Figueroa, y'all all know him. He's always here. He's a great guy, has purchased a book and wants to give it to someone. So, Brian, if you could do me a huge favor, if you could get a list of the, do the number thing. We need 6 winners tonight. We need 5 vacation winners, and we need 1 book winner. So if you could get that for us, and then we'll let Rob or Deb or somebody draw names. But thank you for coming on and talking with us.
No, thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. I hope you have a good evening, and please keep us up to date on that.
We did have a link to that posted in the dog park, and like that was said, they do have a tendency to float down, and so I'm trying to go in and find it and pull it back up and get it back up to the top of the dog park. If not, probably just easier to repost it. But absolutely, and the Institute of Justice, they're just remarkable. Anybody can contact them for stickers for their carts. I have information to post about that as well. My stickers is supposed to be on its way.
That is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you again, Corey, and we'll be hollering at you.
Thanks, Ben.
And go Mariners. They were going after your team, okay?
And you've already had people go over and sign your petition.
Excellent. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, folks, we've got less than 30 minutes and several things to cover, and we need to get it covered. So let's bear with us here.
Hot Dog Saved My Life, the book. Everything you ever wanted to know about hot dog vending, and probably some things you don't, available at benscarts.com/book. Why spend $100 or more dollars when you can get it all for less than 30 bucks?
Less than 30 bucks.
BensCarts.com/book. Get it, read it, and discover how you can cash in and change your life for good. BensCarts.com/book. Have you ever wondered why the guy selling hot dogs always seems so happy?
Hello, Mrs. Smith. Hello, Mr. Johnson. Can I interest either of you in a hot dog? Do you want to find out why?
LearnHotDogs.com. Get free video training, earn points, and get free stuff. Read Ben's hot dog blog and more. The premier source for hot dog vending information. Go to LearnHotDogs.com.
Golly, Rob just did a fantastic job on those, and I just love them. So, if you're listening, thank you again. You are the man. I wanted to, we had a caller waiting, and they have disappeared. they were from South Carolina because I know the South Carolina prefix. And so whoever it was, feel free to call back in. I wasn't going to leave you hanging all day. We've been running as fast as we could to get through this. And let's is Brian available to start doing some giveaways? I know Corky Boo is on the run. She has to leave soon, so we need to give away some stuff. Brian, if you can hear me, if you're getting close, just holler, throw up a thumb, something. Let's see. We've got, oh my gosh, Jay is in the chat room. And Brian is close to getting us some stuff. We've got, holy cow, we've got a busy bunch of group of people tonight. And the show keeps getting busier. The statistics, I mean, realistically, every single week we get bigger, a bigger audience. And I want to thank everybody for participating and for taking part in this. It's free. And if you have a subject you'd like covered, if you'd ever like to call in and tell your story and share something, share some advice, give a warning, we need to get it done. Randy, that's funny, but it's untrue. But I do have a lot of friends named Rob. It is crazy. And Rob, I don't know if you saw him talking bad about you, but he said Ben has a man crush on anyone named Rob. And it may just be that the really, really smart people are named Rob. It could be that. It could be that they're named David and Brian and Darren and Jason and Jay and Edward.
And, absolutely. I've heard a lot of them.
Do what, Rob?
I said, now you're stretching it.
Well, let's see. Oh, my goodness.
If all the Robs were good-looking and had a lot of tough grit and all that, maybe I would go with that. Intelligent, I've been called different. Other stuff.
Your wife would argue.
Intelligent, no.
That's funny.
My wife didn't marry me for my brain.
She married you because you were going to buy that dog.
That's and, right. You got it.
I love it. The if you have any questions, please feel free to email Deb. Also, we want to thank Sean Tibbetts for joining us tonight from the Bluegrass Food Truck Association. You can visit them at bluegrassfoodtruck.org. They are also available on Facebook, I think, BGFT maybe, something maybe. I'm sure Brian will post that. I'm sure it's already in there. If Sean's still on, he can post it up. But any support you can give, if you're in Kentucky or would like to lend a hand at the next rally or help lend your support, or you want to sign the petition or you want to join the association and help them, it helps all of us. And that's the beauty of this. The bigger that this becomes, the more people it's going to help. Sean just posted up. It's Bluegrass Food Trucks. Just facebook.com/bluegrassfoodtrucks, and that'll get you. Ed just said his family's in Kentucky, and I love Kentucky. That is a beautiful state. I have a daughter there right now. She is down the road from Sean. She's on the base there at Fort Knox, and so he's often there near. I don't think he's met her yet, but she's there. Let's see. Need to cover anything else. Brian, how close are we now to picking anybody? Like, do you have a list of our numbers, account, and then we'll let Rob and Deb throw out some numbers, and we'll give away the vacations and the graciously gifted book that Dennis got. Dennis contacted me before the show and said, I want to get a book and give it to someone. And Dennis Figueroa, thank you for that, for spreading the love and the knowledge and helping others out and giving back. That's fantastic. So I'm still waiting on Brian, and I'm putting the pressure on him. He's probably had to pull off his shoes and count now. And You said
did
giving
it last
just a
week.
Second.
It's not easy.
No, it's trickier than it looks, but we'll get it done, and hopefully we'll have something. I want to do something real quick.
Mobile Food Vendors Association, mymfva.org. If you like specials and freebies and discounts off carts from the leading manufacturers, you need to check out mymfva.org. You can get discounts on everything you will need to run a successful business. They'll even tell you where you can buy all those necessities at the absolute lowest price. For more details, visit mymfva.org. You're grooving live with HDVR, Hot Dog Vendor Radio with Ben and Rob. Come on, y'all, let's take a
ride. Are you enjoying the show? Want to hear more for free? Head on over to blogtalkradio.com/Ben's Carts or Google HDVR, Hot Dog Vendor Radio. All the jam-packed episodes are available, and they are all free. And now, you can get them through iTunes. Subscribe today. It's half off, and half off nothing is still nothing.
You're listening to Hot Dog Vendor Radio with Ben and Rob.
All righty. We have 34 names that Brian has pulled for us. And so this will probably work out best if we do a number between 1 and 34. And Rob, let's have you pick the first number. This will be, let's do a vacation on this one. Let's do two vacations, and then we got six to do. So let's do two vacations, then the book that Dennis donated, and then the other vacations. You ready, Rob?
What's my choices?
1 through 34.
1 through 34. Lucky number 7.
Lucky number 7. Number 7 is going to win. I need to write this down this time. Number 7 wins a vacation. Deb, can you pick the next number?
29.
29 wins a vacation. In a minute, we'll tell you who all these people are. And if you won, let's see. We've got the next number, Rob. This will get a book graciously donated by Dennis.
Lucky number 14, seven times two.
That was my number.
14. Okay, and the next one is a vacation. And Deb? You got 1 through 34.
Yeah, I have to switch from 14 to 16.
So you're going with 16.
I'm going with 16.
Okay, Rob, you're next with a vacation.
Lucky number 22.
Now, the last vacation tonight giveaway is going to who, Deb? The pressure's
number
on you.
Number 33.
33. So we've got 7, 29, 14, 16, 22, and 33. Next time I will wear a bikini or something and spin a bunch of balls in a circle and maybe put it on film or something. So, Brian, now the real hard part comes, telling us who all won those. But it's 7, 29, 14, 16, 22, and 33. Dave O'Donnell won a book. So that is fantastic, and I think I have some cool music or something for that. Otherwise, it's going to have to be probably Deb's horn.
Oh, God.
Ed Hayden is the next winner of a vacation. Ed, congratulations. Ed and Dave. Next, Jerry, and I think it's Jerry Riger, won a book, Jerry Riger, and that's, you can thank Dennis for that. Dennis Figueroa, he's in the chat room, he got the book and wanted to donate it. That is awesome. And I'm waiting on Brian. Brian's making me sit in suspense. That's funny. Brian's holding out on us. Dave O'Donnell was a vacation, and Ed Hayden was a vacation, and then Jerry was a book. And then we still have numbers 16, 22, and 33. Is that correct?
Mine was
I'm talking
29,
to Brian.
And 16. I'm sorry.
No. I didn't mean that.
Are you having a party at your house?
No, I was just trying to let people know I wasn't talking to myself. I was talking so that Brian would hear me, and then he'd post. Brian's chatting with me at the same time through the chat thing. But, okay, he's got the people up. Lisa, I don't even want to Sparrowly? Lisa Sparrowly? That's a pretty last name. It's like Lisa Sparrowly. Vacation. And we have Brian Shores. No, Brian Shores posted that. I was going to say Brian Shores. Ron Shipley won a vacation. And Jay Leet won a vacation. So that's everybody. We got, if I did this right, we got Jay, Ron, Lisa, Jerry, Ed, and Dave. So congratulations to you. Thanks for participating in the show. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you help others. And a special thanks again to Dennis for your gracious gift. And y'all remember over at learnhotdogs.com, those points that you're building up, if you want to save them up a little bit so you earn the opportunity to win the cart in December, there is going to be slim pickings because a lot of people are using their points for lower items. And so there will be less people in that group, which means that the odds go dramatically up. That you may win a cart. There'll definitely be a cart given away to someone in December. And it'd be the Cash Cow stainless steel hot dog cart, the one that the world record was sold on. And I thought that was pretty cool. Deb, did you read that?
I did read that. I thought that was awesome. And, you know, I always like to end the show when I'm on by thanking you, Ben, and letting people know that you have put some discounts on your site for MFBA members. So there's not only, you know, the discounts that are on our site, mymfba.org, but there's also some tremendous discounts that you get by being a member on your site. I think there's $20 off on an umbrella. So there's some really good things and some really nice discounts. So we thank you very much for that.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad to do it, and I love it, and wouldn't have it any other way. So I'm having a blast. Now, we've got, 10 minutes roughly left, and the people that won let me tell everybody, the people that just won, please email me at ben@benscarts.com. I'm not sure where the vacations will come from yet, whether they'll come from the guy that's donating those or through the MFVA. If Deb mails them, I'm not sure, but you will get them. Don't worry. But email me your addresses, please, and a phone number, and that doesn't go anywhere, and I will make sure it gets to whoever's mailing and the person that won the book. I will get that out to you as well. So send
and
me
it
your
really helps. It really helps if you put something in the subject line that from the 8,000 emails that we get, we can pick those right out. That does help.
Right. Like put book winner, vacation winner, something like that.
Yeah.
And then your name. Make sure to put your name and address so that we can match the name with the winning list. Let's see. We've got somebody told me at the beginning of the show that they hadn't received their something yet, chip clips or something. I apologize, but after the show, if you have a chance to email me and go check on this, it'll remind me, and I'll get it checked on if I need to send it out again or find out why it didn't go or something. I know that some people get their stuff. I just want to make sure everybody does, and I thank you for bringing that to my attention, and I promise I'll get right on it tomorrow morning, first thing. It will be in the mail again if it didn't already go, but I'll find out. I want to thank Brian for all he does, all this links and finding stuff, and I just love it. I love that he puts in the time and that he helps and does so much for everybody. Now, is there anything else we were going to cover, Deb? I know we had another call, but they have since disappeared on me. They were the South Carolina folks.
I think we've pretty much covered everything. I think we discussed being a little bit patient. We're getting everything done. We're plowing through the work, and we're happy to have it. I am not by any means complaining. I'll be happy to be seeing this grow, and they can just continue on. It's been a terrific week. I don't know when I have sat in front of a computer for more hours, and I've loved every minute of it. Except for the ones where I complain to you a little bit, Ben.
I complain to Robin, Jason, and it's funny. And then Heather will call and go, "Oh my gosh!" And so it's like a whirly bird of heck. Somebody is on holding. What number are you? Is the last four on your phone number? Said they're in the queue, and I don't see them. I want to make sure. That we pick them up. We've got about 9 minutes left, which is plenty of time to take a call. So, I see. You're not in the queue. How about this? I'm going to play a little something, and while I try to call you, and maybe that'll work. And if it goes to dead air before I come back, that'll be all you, Deb.
Oh, good.
So you'll when you quit hearing this this stuff, you're gonna have to do something. You're gonna have to sing or toot your horn or something.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Finally, Ben's Carts has released the Build a Cart course, found at www.buildacart.com. Now you can build your own professional hot dog cart based on the cash cow. Build a cart for less than $900 with no flea market and pawn shop used parts. Your cart will be brand new, loaded up with all the features, and will outperform even you. This means it will cook faster than you can serve your adoring fans. We even went a step further because we purchase commercial supplies in bulk. You can get a kit with much of the important components and save big. No crappy burners, no having to switch on and off manually your water pump, no messing with making your own gas lines. The all-new Build a Cart course will guide you in building a real commercial cart. Check it out today at www.buildacart.com. That's www.buildacart.com. All right, Deb, I'm back, and we had him in the room. He came in while I was trying to call. It showed him up. This is Yankee Dogs, and he had some information he wanted to share, and we need to see what we can do to get him back. He's not there. I don't see him.
Yeah, it says it's Yankee in the chat room.
Who else do we have from the 360 area code?
We have Darren. We have Corky Boo.
No, I'm saying right now on the line. Somebody on the line.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Okay.
David,
how are you?
Good. How are you, Ben?
Doing wonderful. Did you mean to call in? I mean, was it like
I
a...
I did. Okay. This is my first time calling in, and I wasn't quite sure how it works, so I just been patiently just listening to the show and enjoying everything.
Well, I'm glad you did. We were trying to get a hold of Yankee Dogs from South Carolina, and I don't know what happened. I still haven't figured this out yet. Third grade was like the four toughest years of my life, and I still haven't got it all worked out. What did you like to share with us? What would you like to share?
Well, I wanted to let you guys know that I'm just a brand new member for the Mobile Food Vendors Association. And I'm currently working on building my cart and just excited about getting started with it.
Well, I'm glad that you're here. And if we can do anything for you, or you run across a problem or a question, I'll give you all of Deb's phone numbers. She does almost nothing, sits around all day watching soap operas, and she would enjoy it. But no, for real, you're welcome to call any of us anytime. We'd love to talk to you.
Well, I have I've gotten a boatload of information from your site, and I'm looking forward to purchasing some stuff with my discount through the MFBA. And you're a blessing to all those slingers out there.
Well, I thank you for that.
Where are you located?
Bremerton, Washington.
Oh, Bremerton. Beautiful area. I wouldn't mind driving up there for a hot dog.
Well, see, there
well,
you
right
go.
Right now, the only place I can really go to get anything really good is over to Port Townsend.
Oh, you're getting your supplies from Port Townsend? You have a Costco over there.
To go have a good hot dog.
Oh. Because you're not up and running yet.
Right.
You've got a Costco, and there's...
You're going to have to drive over to Darren or Deb.
Or take the ferry.
Yeah, take the
right.
ferry.
Yeah, exactly. Take the ferry, yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah, then I could get all three of you on video.
We'll have Corky join in, too. We've got quite a group here, and Steamy says he gets up into the area, so maybe we can have a little block party. I think
sounds
that just
great.
Sounds awesome. Yep.
I've heard through the grapevine that the Kitsap Mall is trying to put together a food truck, some kind of an event, sometime in June or July.
A rally sort of thing?
I don't know exactly. I don't have any details yet, but I was talking to the marketing guy for the mall, and he's working on some things to get some food trucks in the area, so that might be fun.
Well, we have mini food trucks, so not many, mini.
Mini?
Mini, yeah, small. But, yeah, that would be really fun to do something like that. It's just a beautiful area. People out on the East Coast, they don't know what it's like to have to ride a ferry to work and see the big trees out here. They'll have to come out and visit us. Maybe they'll join us at the rally.
Yeah, they don't know what they're missing out here.
Absolutely not.
Well, we've got less than 2 minutes left, and I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. I want to thank Dave for calling in, and please call back or ask if we can help you in any way. Please let us know. If you find a good hot dog, let us know. But we do know several people in your area. You'll have to cross the river or whatever that is there. That's the bay. What do y'all call that?
The sound.
Sound. We have
the sound.
Sound.
The sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you know, that'd be like you coming to Tennessee and going, what's, you know, what is that? Well, we call that a Jasper. And you go, well, we call that mountains. Well, we just call it a Jasper here. And, I mean, just,
is that you people that live in the hollers?
Yeah, we do
the
live
hollers?
In hollers. Yeah, I'm in a holler right now. My string is stretched tight to the top of the trees up at the top. we missed Yankee. Yankee promises he'll come call back. He had some cool news. If y'all don't remember, Yankee Dogs is South Carolina and is actually he got a cool event. I'd like to go work with him sometime. He's in front of a strip club, I think. And so I look forward to meeting him and having a dog or two. So thanks, everybody, for joining. And if you need us at all, holler. We love you all. And, Deb, thanks again for joining us. I know I put you on the spot tonight, and I appreciate you staying so long and doing the whole show with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Now, Ben, now that I know how to call in, I'll be talking to you more often.
Sounds good, Dave. Have a good
all
night.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered why the guy selling hot dogs always seems so happy?
Hello, Mrs. Smith. Hello, Mr. Johnson. Can I interest either of you in a hot dog? Do you want to find out why? LearnHotDogs.com. Get free video training, earn points, and get free stuff. Read Ben's hot dog blog and more. The premier source for hot dog vending information. Go to LearnHotDogs.com.
He's cornier than an outhouse at a summertime family reunion. It's Ben on HDVR, Hot Dog Vendor Radio.